go to Romans chapter 14, and we want to talk about faith. You know, we talked about imagination and belief and faith. And so I want to deal this time about the faith within the body of Christ. So, you know, there are different faiths. I want to deal with the faith that affects you today. That's what I want to do. And you can't believe everything in the King James Bible for you today. It's an impossibility. In fact, if you did, it would destroy your faith. If you believed everything in the King James Bible was written for you to do, you would lose your faith. And faith is the only thing that you really have. Turn to Romans chapter 14, and I want you to read with me in verse 19. Romans 14, verse 19. He said, "Let us therefore follow after the things which maketh for peace, and the things wherewith one may edify another." He says, "For meat destroyeth not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eateth with offense." That has to do with belief, not faith. You understand? If you think it's wrong to do, and you do it, guess what? Your natural conscience is going to kick in, and you're going to feel guilty for the things that you do. Or in this case, what you eat. That's a belief system, and everybody has them. There is nobody, even an atheist, believes something. Now, an atheist doesn't have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but he has a belief system. You're born with belief systems in the sense of your parents' upbringing. If your parents tell you that this is a rock, you believe your parents this is your rock. Now, you may test that theory and try to crash it to go through a window. Well, yep, it must be a rock. Went right through that window. It's not a Nerf ball. And you might reestablish your belief system. There are certain moral beliefs that you all have at different levels. Morality is a sliding scale. It's like high morals, low morals. And there's this handle, and this handle that you've got is a handle that you adjust based upon your moral beliefs. And the problem with most people is they think morality has to do with spirituality. And they're like vastly different. But everybody has moral beliefs or conscience beliefs or beliefs of some form in which they were given. We call them value systems. Very important to understand there's values. And if you go against your values or your belief system, guess what you do? Feel guilty in your mind. You feel condemned. Whatever that moral condition is. Maybe you think it's okay. I doubt people in here would.
I wasn't raised like that.
Yeah, that term, I wasn't raised like that, is a term that controls this high moral. Illustration, there are European countries that think it's okay to go topless on the beach. They don't look at that as we look at that. Their slide is different. We may consider that a lower moral standard, but they're not condemning themselves in their own mind. But that's a moral thing. Let me read the verse again. Verse 20. "For meat destroyeth not the work of God." What you do morally doesn't destroy the work of God. What you do consciously doesn't necessarily destroy the work of God. All things indeed are what? Are all things pure unto you? How did we get that belief system? How did we get that belief system? By the Word of God. How did we know that? All things are lawful unto me. 2 Corinthians 6. All things are pure. Titus says, all things are pure. Well, then let me ask you, are all things pure? Then you had to have a change in your belief system. You all understand? But there are some that are Christians today that don't think all things are pure. Therefore, if you do that, you might become an offense or a stumbling block onto the brother based upon not faith. Because faith would say what? Belief might not have that yet. And so how you approach a person based upon the Word of God, based upon that, has to be based upon some idea of their moral belief system. So, I want to go back to the passage again. Verse 20, For meat destroyeth not the work of God, all things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eateth with what? Look, I believe it's okay to have a glass of wine. I don't know how many here at one time believed you shouldn't drink anything. Christianity's been teaching that. That's, boy, then Jesus was guilty of a lot of people's judgment, wasn't he? In fact, that's exactly what the Pharisees came. And they saw him sitting with the what? The wine bibbers, and he accused him of being a wine bibber because he's out there having wine. And how about the same Lord who made water into wine? I mean, he would certainly be accused. I mean, if some of these miracle people say, hey, we're going to a wedding, boom, this water's into wine, they go, oh, heavens, no way. And that's exactly what the belief system of the moral conviction was of the Pharisees who thought they were better than someone else. Moral belief system. Hey, but your belief system doesn't destroy the work of God. It doesn't change the work of God. It doesn't change the effect of God. And so our belief systems are established. And then we've got a thing, as we grow in grace, kind of a strange term, but we do grow in grace, our belief system will change because it will be less our belief system and more the faith that cometh from the Word of God. That's an evolutional process. You can't get... I remember Brian says, I wish I knew everything you did. Yeah, I know. I wish I could transfer everything I have in my mind to your mind. But that's not how God intends it. He wants you to build line upon line, precept upon precept, and He wants to build your faith. Man, listen, if He gave you everything right at front, it would... I mean, come on. To say that all things are pure, how many in here think having a glass of wine is pure? Faith. So he says, for meat destroy not the work of God, all things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man that who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Now why am I telling you that? Well, if someone new came into the church, I wouldn't bring them over and say, let's have a glass of wine right off. Even though it's okay. That might offend them. Well, you drank? You mean you have a glass of wine? And my answer to that would be, did the Lord? The Bible says wine maketh a merry heart. There's a lot about wine in this Bible, but because of the moral slide, you might offend somebody in their belief system. It isn't faith, because faith tells you what? All things are pure. Say it. All things are pure. That's what faith says. But God knows that people aren't going by faith, they're going by their moral conviction. And He says, you've got to be careful how you present all this. Why? Because let me tell you, you can offend a brother to the point, and you know what the proverb says? Offended brother is harder to win than a walled city. You offend them, you ain't coming back. So the job is to ease into grace. I mean, I've probably been guilty of not easing in grace with some people. Verse 21 again, it is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Hey, you know it's okay. Hey, don't try to make the moral slide in their mind. God will eventually show them that, hey, how many are good? That is a hard thing to get. Now, I remember some of you guys coming and it wasn't that easy at the beginning. You were stumbling because your moral slide was not down here. It was way up high. And somehow you thought that was faith. Amen? Well, I don't do it because Jesus wouldn't do it. What would Jesus do? And you thought it was faith to be morally high. When faith, according to the passage in Romans chapter 10, cometh by hearing, and hearing by... I'm standing on the Word of God. Standing on the promises, I'm made complete, all things are pure unto me. You know what? That takes faith, folks. Because it goes against everything morally you've been taught. You mean I can eat bacon? Now, how many in here feel offended when they ate bacon before or after they got saved? You guys didn't even think about it. I'm just telling you, I mean, you guys are some pork-loving, pig-loving, swine-suckling people, man. But for a Jew, that would offend them. It would offend them. They would think, oh man, that person's going to hell based upon their belief system, not upon what? It's not upon faith, it's upon their belief system, and that's fine. Everybody has a belief system. I believed that God was going to weigh my good out with my bad, and if it weighed out the right direction, I'm going to heaven. How many believe that? It was part of our... I believe cleanliness was next too. I had that belief system. My belief system's changed. Verse 22. He says, hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the things which he alloweth. Why would you be happy? Because you're walking in faith. You're walking in that truth that He just said above there, that all things are what? It's like that song. Grace, grace, marvelous grace. Man, you know why it's marvelous? You know why it's true? We're walking uncondemned. If it was condemning you all the time, nothing you do would be fun. You'd feel guilt-ridden. And that's what the church's playoff is, to try to get you to feel guilt when God is trying to fill you. The guilt gone away. See, God's trying to tell you that you're not guilty anymore, that He paid for it all, that it's all been done. But churches and religion want you to feel the guilt for control and all that they have on your life so that they can control you. And bless God, you're free. I'll never know what it feels like to be a black man. No, I'm not saying that facetiously. I don't understand the plight of the black in real sense. And I can admit that. How it must have felt to be a slave and owned by someone else. I will never understand that. I don't think anybody could verbalize that. Even the blacks that are in this room can't do that. We're living in a great country, aren't we? It's free. But just think of that person that was free and didn't know where to go. I thought about Abraham Lincoln writing the Emancipation Proclamation. And you know, at that time, Frederick Douglass was a free man. He'd been free for years, hundreds of years, actually. 1793, and we're talking 18, so it was almost 100 years. Free! How that must have felt to be enslaved and under the bondage and then set free. And that's exactly what grace is. Under the bondage. So you say, I may not know about slavery in America and all that, but I know what it feels like to be enslaved to sin and thoughts and moral conditions and be entrapped in that and feel the condemnation for that. And I know when that preacher told me down in Pensacola, Florida, that grace had paid for everything, that whole thing must have felt like the shackles coming off. And he uses Onesimus in Philemon to describe as an explanation point to what grace really is. Whatever he owed, put it to my account. See, Jesus said that to me. Gosh, I mean, folks, listen to me. Today, I believe in a faith that you're joyful when you walk in that which God has written and trust it. Oh, you may not feel like that all the time. Let me go back in the passage just a little bit. Do you mind? I want to go to Romans 14, verse 1. Just kind of pick up the context just a little bit. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputation. Hey, you've got to establish it by what? By the Word of God, by faith. There's going to be people that come to you that might be saved and they have this much faith and they don't really understand all that you're putting forth. That's why Paul uses the term prove and reprove. Why? Because it's going to take that to build faith. How many here, just out of curiosity, thought I was crazy some of the things I was saying at one time or another? Absolutely. I mean, I understand that. That's what we're talking. There's some of you might have come saved. Stan wasn't saved. He didn't get it, but I was saying things that just totally flipped him out. I remember one thing on baptism. He just about totally went haywire on. But he just hung in there. You know what that tells me? It takes a while to build faith. You get a measure of faith, but I don't think it comes all in one time. I think it like trickles in as you study and prove and reprove what the preacher's been saying, and that builds your faith up. And eventually you'll have exactly what God wants you to have at the time you have it and need it and that. But it comes based upon initial belief system. And in Romans chapter 14, he says, "For one that believeth, he may eat all things, you pork lovers. Another who is weak, eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not." Oh, he doesn't understand grace. Well, you didn't either at the beginning. You didn't either at the beginning. I remember you sitting in the audience arguing with me sometimes. You didn't get it either. There was something destroying the faith of God, and it was a belief system or a moral system or whatever system it was. It wasn't allowing you to hear the Word of God. But finally, when the Word of God comes on, it's like a light. Whoa! That's what he's talking about. Am I making sense this morning? So let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him that eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. Who art thou that judges another man's servant? To his own master? Hey, listen, you know what? You're going to stand before the Lord and give an account of yourself. Your faith is going to be measured. He's going to put you into the fire, folks. Your faith is going to be measured. It's going to be tested. It's going to be tried. It's going to be proved what you really did believe. To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteems one day above another. How many here know about the truth of Christmas? You know it. So what about the ones that don't know it? Should we put them down and condemn them? Or should we slowly take the Word of God and try to expound to them the truth? Why? So they can walk in light. For we are children of light, the Bible says. We can't go, hell, they don't know anything about Christmas. What do you mean? Christmas is the greatest time of my life. I remember fond memories. Well, trying to shove Christmas down their throat when they're not even sure whether they're saved is idiotic. Amen? Hey, man, you're here to build people. The Bible says to be rooted and established in love. What's the idea of the church? To root and establish in love. You know, that takes kindness and long-suffering, and it takes realizing that people are coming from all different kinds of what? Say that. Everybody in here, I guarantee, even now, if we took a belief test and we could give out a handwritten test, everybody in here would be at different levels of belief. And some of you will be at accomplishment or the goal or the pinnacle, which is called faith. That is, your own thoughts wouldn't be your own, it'd be God's. That's why we call them Bible-believing saints of Almighty God. Our goal is to get you where you don't have to feel like you got to cover your sin. How many here at one time felt like that they ought to hide their sin a little bit? I love Nichelle. She used to say, Pastor, you're not that bad. I loved you for saying that. But she didn't know Pastor. She had a belief system of what pastors should be. You understand? And I loved her for saying that, but I knew in my mind that I wasn't any good. Why? I'd gone from that belief system that I was good to the faith system that says I wasn't any good and that I was complete in what He did for me only. Belief system to faith. But hey, at one time I thought the good way out, the bad to you ought to be as moral as you want. That was a belief system. But it isn't faith. Does that make sense? It's not faith. It's a belief system. And those belief systems could be done on tradition, moral convictions of the parents, all of those things. And all of those things are important to some degree in life. But the thing that's going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ will be faith. What did I believe in the Word of God and could stand on and walk on and trust? I can't do John. Everything I ask in His name doesn't come true. If I believed that verse in John and I believed it with all my heart and I prayed and it didn't happen, that would destroy faith. You'd be empty. You'd be going, where are you, God? Where are the things that you promised? And faith, hence, would be destroyed because your belief system was incorrectly placed. And it couldn't have been faith because God would never have asked you to pray that prayer. So you got to distinguish in your mind what it is you believe, if it's based upon the Word of God, and you can prove it, or your feelings or belief system. And if it's your belief system, you have to wander through that valley, up the mountain, to the pinnacle of where I'm a Bible-believing saint. It doesn't matter. If it says, I mean, can you imagine? I think the most spiritual person in the Bible, in my opinion, was Paul. And I think David went to the mountain of faith too. That's Old Testament, New Testament. I'll give it that. But I think Paul, because when he says, that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. You know what? Belief system could never have done that. That had to be faith. To be able to say 25 years after you saved, that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. To be able to say, for the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. And that which I would not, that I do. That's got to take faith. You'll be able to say, that is in the belief system. That is, God said it, I just believe it. I don't always feel that way, but that's the way it is. That's faith. So emotionally, I don't make up that way. Well, who cares? Oh, guys, I wish I could transfer what's in my mind into your heart. Because people have all kinds of belief systems. Had a guy call this morning. Said, would you have Pastor Hampton call me? I want to know what he thinks about divine healing. And I'm going to say, well, first, I want you to show me what you believe in the Bible based upon the Bible. Let me hear where you're at. What do you think? And see, the people who think those things couldn't prove you through scriptures that they believe it either. So that way you know it's a what? Belief and not you know it. So what are you going to do? Clobber them with faith? You're going to try to build up their belief system so that they can believe a King James Bible. That's what our job is. My job isn't trying to persuade you. I can't persuade you. We were talking, Dan and I, driving down. I tell you, I got to tell you a little bit about faith and belief and all that kind of thing. Dan shows up in this gray van that looks like it's about to fall apart. Dan has come down to help with the ministry. And Dan is going to lead singing and teach some of the youth and do those things. He's going to step up to the plate and he's going to try to help this church grow. He's here for a reason and a purpose. And I'm in this 2002 Avalanche with heated seats and leathers, cruising down the road, leading the way. You know, Dan, keep up, man. I can't. You know, my van doesn't go up hills very good. And I go in Louisville and I turn ready on the interstate and my car goes, quick, pink. And I'm in drive and I go, damn. So I shift down and then it clinks even worse.
No.
Oh, yeah. My transmission died. And when it happened, the first thing that went through my mind, I can tell you, man, what am I going to do? And just after that initial thought, see, that's my belief system. It'll all work out okay. Right. So we were standing out there and I said, praise the Lord.
Right.
Dan said, amen. But that wasn't my initial thought. My belief system, Roy, is his first. You know what I mean? Like, oh, me. But I thought about it and I started praising the Lord.
Right.
Somehow God's going to use this.
Right.
And then I started thinking, well, how lucky I was to have Dan there.
That's right.
And the weak things confound the wise. So here we're driving down with no air conditioning. Brenda called on the phone and said, can't hear you. Say louder. I said, I can't. The windows are open. We have no air conditioning, but we're coming. We'll be there to preach tomorrow. And they picked up the Avalanche. And I said, praise the Lord. And Dan said, you know, we'll never know until we get to the judgment seat of Christ. What would have happened if we'd have turned on that interstate? We might have been involved in a major accident. And God shut that motor off so that wouldn't have happened. Now, you could be frustrated.
Yes.
Or bless God, you could be fascinated. I chose to be fascinated. And so for that 10 hours, we rode together in the heat. And God got us home. But you know what? That initial thought of belief bubbled up. You ever have that happen?
Right. Yeah.
Comes up. And you know what? Then you've got to go, hang on. I'm thinking. I got stinking thinking. Say that.
Right.
I got stinking thinking. You know what? You're basing it upon your belief system and not based upon the Word of God.
Right.
Well, what does God say? Well, let me show you. Romans 8. And we know, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Was that going to work out for my good? Then it could have been an accident or something waiting for us had we got on that. You don't know. What do you know? That it's all things are going to work out for my good. That's faith. Just relax. You don't have to struggle. Faith isn't something you're struggling with. Faith is an action step. People say, what is faith? Faith is you trusting that which God said. You may even have some belief of what you think God said. Your belief may be what your mom and daddy taught you about God. Faith has nothing to do with mom and daddies in that sense. Do I believe mom and daddies could give faith to their children? Go like this. Yes. Why? Well, they can show them what God said. You all understand the difference between what belief is and what faith is? And so in your walk of faith, you can't just say, well, I believe this about God. Bless God, you better be able to prove what you believe about God. Because someone may come along and we know that all things work for our good. But what about John? Go to John. And I could use anything. I'm just using this because it's so in your face. John 14. There are people that have this belief system. Do they have it as faith? Would God give it to them as faith? And the answer is no way. So when you're witnessing, you've got to understand people are coming at you with a lot of belief systems. Amen? And you've got to be patient with that. What are you going to have to do? You're going to have to prove that their belief system is what? And establish them based upon a... called the Bible. That's your job. To turn them from vain believers into faithful believers. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory, unless you believed in... That's over here. That has nothing to do with faith. How many know by faith that they're not any good? Say it. Say, I'm no good. By faith, how many think they're as righteous as Almighty God? Amen. How do you feel about that? It isn't a feeling system for me. It's a faith system. John 14, verse 12, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Well, man, he threw water into the wine. That'd make a great party at Grace Bible Church. But when I go to pray over that water, if it doesn't turn into wine, then this verse is either lying or that faith wasn't intended for me. You all understand? There's only two options. God said, if whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Okay? Turn this water into wine. Faith wouldn't allow me to stand on this verse. Because Paul says about us in the body of Christ, our leader, he says, I don't even know what to pray for as I ought. How in one place are you able to know and be defined? And then when they pray and it doesn't happen, we had a guy with a wheelchair that Jerry Lockhart knew. He was a quadriplegic. And he went to a healing thing. And they would not let him get up on stage. You know why? He was really broke. And we knew him. And he begged and he said, I've got the faith. Heal me. No, you can't even go up on stage. And all I'm trying to tell you is you can have all kinds of belief systems. And you even have different belief systems right now than that which is in the Word of God. All of you do. We're all at different levels of beliefs. The question is, how much faith do you have? And where are you getting your faith? And you get that from studying the Word of God. And you get that from transmitting what God said into your heart so that you walk in Christ. You walk in faith. You walk based upon your belief. You walk according to that which is true. I can't walk against this. He said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. The greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. Hey, not that I'll do if you have enough faith, or that I'll do. That's not what it's saying. He says, that will I do. And I can claim that verse and have my belief in all that verse, but that belief would be in vain. Paul went to the Lord 3 times to ask the Lord to take an infirmity away from him. And the Lord said in 2 Corinthians 12, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul says, well, then most gladly, therefore I'll glory in my infirmities. Well, we started glorying in our infirmities. Why? Because that's what you're supposed to do. My belief system was to cry. My faith system says to glory. My belief system said, oh me. And the faith system says, praise God. They're different. And you can't make one the other. You can't make a belief system faith. It doesn't happen. It doesn't matter how much you believe it. If it's still wrong, it's still wrong. But you can change your faith. How? By taking what you believe and replacing with what God said. Does that make sense? And that's the difference. People ask me all the time, what's the difference between this church and other churches? Everybody look up here. I want to tell you what the difference is in this church and why you should come here. I believe we're the only church in Montgomery, Alabama. Now listen to me very carefully. That believes every word in the King James Bible. And that what I preach, I can prove. I don't know everything in the Bible. That's not what I said. I said everything I believe, I can prove. And you go to any other church and you ask them, how many messages are there in the Bible? They'll tell you how many. From the beginning to the end. I can show you that isn't true. Just John right here tells you something's wrong. Y'all understand? How many people before they got to a Grace Church believed that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was written to us? It was a belief system, but it wasn't faith. Because later we find out that God did send us an apostle. Amen? That God did give us a message that was hidden from generations. And our belief turned into what? Based upon someone proving that to us. How many here believe that we should have followed Jesus? Even after you knew Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John wasn't to us. Belief system. That's not my belief system. You know what my belief system is by faith I'm supposed to follow the apostle. Everybody has belief systems. But this is the only church. Reason? It's the only church that you can have the understanding and stand on complete faith based upon the system that Paul told us to do in 2 Timothy 2:15, and that is study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Why? You're not going to be claiming a verse that isn't ever going to work for you. You're going to know what part of the Bible God wrote to you and that you could stand upon and know no matter what winds and no matter what waves come, it's not going to tear down your house. But you'll be rooted and established so that you're not tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. And that's why this church is unique. Should you ever go to another church, I doubt you'll need it, because if I died, Dan could preach, Bobby can preach, Matt can preach, Stan, every man in here. Why? Because faith tells me to teach faithful men who shall be able to do what? There are belief systems that when the church runs out of a pastor that they need to call for a what? That's not what faith tells me to do. He tells me to train faithful men who will be able to teach others also. That's what faith tells me. Then there ought to be someone here who can stand up and do the job before the Lord, or I haven't done my job very well at all. Folks, listen to me. It's our chance to grow this ministry. Amen? And we can't grow it based upon vain beliefs. We've got to grow it based upon the Word of God. And if the Word of God says the same thing, how many baptisms do you believe in? Well, no, I mean for today. One. How many here believed in a couple before they got here? Belief system. Belief system. I mean, he's talking faith too. But I'm talking, how many are for today? One. How many here believe there was more to one to the church based upon that of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and the other parts? We all had a belief system. But now after you lay the 12 out, and you study the 12 out, and then you can know the one that your apostle taught. Not based upon your feelings, your emotion, whatever some preacher might have built into your mind, but based upon the Word of God. And you know what? If someone could show me a 14th or a 15th baptism, I'd believe them if they could prove it to me in the King James Bible. But that wouldn't change the fact that I know by faith that there's only one for today. And I can quote you the verses. I can take you to what? I'm not going to trust me. I'm going to trust the King James Bible. I'm done.